Now let's continue on. Let's come to 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. Now this becomes very important for us to understand. Remember that the Bible, inspired by the mind and spirit of God, covers every situation for human experience, whether for good, whether for evil, whether for love, whether for difficulties. And the Apostle Paul was one who, because of what he did to the Christians, remember that? That God said, "You are going to suffer for me." And he did. So 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. Let's see what he writes, because his life was full of distress and troubles and trials. And yet look at the inspiring things that he wrote when he was in prison. Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, and Hebrews. Verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God and Timothy our brother, to the church of God that is in Corinth, with all the saints who are in the entire region of Achaia. Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the source of how we get through the difficult times, okay? Blessed be the God of our Father, of our Lord, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. What is the Holy Spirit called? The Comforter. So when you're in trouble, when you have afflictions, when things get overwhelming too much, and we all go through it, I go through it, you go through it, don't get angry and mad. And if you do, pray about it and get over it and return to God. See? Claim the promise. You can say, "God, here I am in all this trouble and all this difficulty and all these problems, and I never knew it was going to be this way. See? I'm distressed. I'm afflicted. Comfort me. Comfort me." Remember what it says there in Isaiah, the 40th chapter? Now, you think you've gone through a lot of things. How many have the Messiah? You know the Messiah written by Handel? Okay. It starts out this way. Isaiah 40, verse 1. And it's the tenor that sings. He says, "Comfort ye, comfort ye, my people." To the Jews, think of what they have gone through. So he's the God of all comfort. Now notice, verse 4, who comforts us in all, not some, all. See, there's no other book in the world that can do this, because coupled with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, it will bring comfort and peace of mind to you. Okay? Verse 4. Who comforts us in all our tribulation, in order that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trial. So God will even use this to help others. See? Now, especially as we're aging, we're getting older every day. See? And God has designed life that way. Remember what Jesus told the Apostle Peter? After Jesus asked him three times, "Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Feed my lamb, feed my sheep," and so forth. And then Peter, being the consummate politician, said, "And John, this one over here, what's going to happen to him?" And he says, "What if I desire that he remain until I return? What is that to you?" And they said, "And Peter, when you are old, someone's going to lead you around where you don't want to go." So Peter, in his last years, became virtually incapacitated. But you read about how strong he was, how powerful he was, how he preached, cast out demons, stood against the Sanhedrin, told them there's only one name under heaven whereby men can be saved, and that is Jesus Christ, whom you killed. See? Now he's weak, he's old, he's gray, feeble. Someone has to lead him around. Okay, so he had, that was his tribulation, that was his trial, and he got comfort that way, I'm sure. Okay, but we can use all of those things to help other people in the things that they go through. Because, see, you can always tell them, well, I understand what you've gone through. I've been through things myself. Now, here's where to go. Here's what to do. God will comfort you. So you claim that promise. For to the degree that the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. And if we are in distress, it is for your comfort and salvation. Now just put in your notes there, chapter 11. Look what he went through. Okay? Great, mighty apostle of God. I always wonder this, when he was in holding on to that piece of wood for a day and a half when he was out in the ocean, he says it wasn't a deep for a day and a half. Wonder what his thoughts were. Wonder what his prayer was. You know, and when you're down at water's level, you can't see very far over the top of the water. And who's going to see a bobbing head in a piece of wood? But somehow he was rescued. Well, did he get up and walk off and say, well, I'm not going to do this anymore. You never told me about this? No. See? Which is being worked out by your enduring the same sufferings that we also suffer. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort and salvation, and our hope is steadfast for you, knowing that as you are partners in sufferings, you are also partners in comfort, and also partners in the resurrection. See? For we do not want you to be ignorant of our tribulations, brethren, even the trials that befell us in Asia. We were exceedingly burdened beyond our own strength, so much so that we even despaired of living. Now, that's really a tremendous trial, right? Paul, who encouraged everybody, said he reached this point that he despaired of living. Oh, God, why am I alive? You know, now there, you know, was a message to Paul. You'll make it. For we had the sentence of death within us, ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves but in God. That is the whole purpose. Trusting in God, who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and continues to deliver, and whom we have hope that he will even yet deliver, while you also are laboring together with us by supplication to God, that the gift to us from many persons might be the cause of thanksgiving by many for us. Okay? Now, that's why we have the Word of God and the Spirit of God, and the most important thing is to love God and love each other. Now think of this. Think of this. Come back here to Matthew 22. Matthew 22. Because you see, the whole life of Jesus Christ was that for the salvation of the whole world. Now, think about all the troubles you have, many or few, and if they're few, be thankful. If they're many, overcome, okay? You'll get through it. Sometimes, you know, you just have to let the sun go down and end it, okay? Now, we know this, and you know this going through the love series, okay? Now, here's how we are to love God. I want you to think about this in reverse. How God loves those who love him. And how God, even through Christ, died for the wicked. No, they don't know it. Haven't been called yet. Think what a surprise that is going to be. You know, I think in the second resurrection, when they're all resurrected back to a physical life, they're going to think, oh, I finally made it to heaven. And we'll be there to say, not quite. Not quite. This is the earth. Really? Pinch yourself. I'm alive. Yes, now, since you didn't have a chance for salvation, God never gave it to you, now you've got a second life. That's how much God loves you. What are you going to do? Okay? I want you to read this in reverse. Apply it to God and Christ, to us, the church, and the world. And did not Jesus do this through the Passover? Think about it. Okay? Verse 37. Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Did Jesus love us that way? Mm-hmm. Yes, he did. Does God the Father love us that way? Yes, he does. And so I guess you can say this next one is the second resurrection. Who knows? Okay. Second one is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Okay. So look at what Jesus suffered. Look what he gave up. Okay. All right. Now with that, let's come back here to Psalm 20. And I suppose if we lived in the Midwest, you know, I don't know how they get through all those tornadoes. It's just beyond me, you know? And you go out and you go to a shelter and you're kept from being destroyed with a tornado. And you go back to your house and it's nothing but kindling and junk. And everything gone. And most people have an insight at that time. Thank you, God, that I'm still alive. So likewise with the things that we go through. So here, Psalm 20 is one of my favorite psalms because, as we will see, there are five wonderful mays. Okay? Verse 1. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. That's how God will comfort you. Psalm 20 and verse 1. Okay? The name of the God of Jacob set you on high. We have been called to eternal life. May he send you help. Want an interesting study? Just look up the words help and helper. Comfort and comforter. Just in the Psalms. It'll blow you away. Okay? You send help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May God do that for you. That's what it is, see? Number 3, may he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt offerings, Selah. All your prayers, all your cryings, all your tears, all of your anxieties, everything that you go through. And you pour out your heart to God. You know? And it's kind of like the verse says, my eyes, I think it's Jeremiah, my eyes are like rivers of water running down, because what was going to happen to Jerusalem and Judah. The 4th May. May he grant you according to your own heart and fulfill all your plans and God's plan for you. We will shout for joy in your victory. When will that be? The resurrection. On the sea of glass. What does it say there? And I heard the voice of a multitude saying, hallelujah. Okay. Now think of that. Everything that we've gone through in difficulties will be wiped out. The slate removed. Eternal life granted. Now that's going to be what we need to keep our minds on when we're going through the difficulties, see? And in the name of our God, we will set up banners. Notice this. the last May, may the Lord fulfill all your prayers. Might want to circle all. Not some, not just a few, but all. Now, sometimes he doesn't answer right away. Sometimes you'll even forget that you prayed the prayer until it's fulfilled, and you'll think, I prayed about that, didn't I? And then you thank God for it. So this is how then we are comforted with God. Okay? Now there are many other scriptures we can add to it and cover, but the whole Bible is here for us. And now if you have Wi-Fi at home, we do have it. Randy told me that now we have it, that it will read consecutively the reading of the Bible going from chapter to chapter. So you don't have to punch every chapter as you go. Now, I don't know how far along they are on it. If it doesn't come up on yours that way, it will be. But there are certain areas that'll help you. See, because faith comes by what? The hearing of the word. See, so it's good that you can hear it. See? And to show you how effective hearing is, with God's word, it will help and strengthen and comfort you. But just to show you how something comes along that sticks in your mind, have you ever heard an ad on the radio or television with a little jingle, and the next thing you know, it's racing around your brain like that new thing to make your brain work better, you know, and you can't get rid of it. Okay? Well, that's just an example of how hearing builds faith. So now we have the whole Bible. We don't have quite all the commentaries. We don't quite have everything finished yet, but we're working on it, and appreciate Mike doing the final editing on it. He finds all those mistakes and everything that we miss. He's very accurate at doing that. And then Randy makes all the corrections. And when I have to, I do the rereading. See? But this means that we are going to provide for many people in the world many things that they do not have. And to help them, right at their fingertip, right in the palm of their hand. Now, you can't get it delivered any better than that. Okay? So, if afflictions come along, learn the lesson. Receive the comfort from God, ask Him to help you in it, and He will do it. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.